Okay, so we are up to Yud Gimel Amud Beis 13b in Maseches Tainis. We left off in the middle of the page. It's really basically smack in the middle of the page. The first word on the page is Le'avar, and then the word that we're starting with is the middle of that line. It's Tzalusa de Tanisa. Everyone have it? Stan, Sam, yeah? Stan?
I think so.
Okay, great. So fine. So let's pick up from where we left off. Tzalusa de Tanisa, Hichi Matkarinam. So the fast day prayer, what's the fast day prayer? Well, we know that already. The Anenu prayer, the one that we say till this day. So when do we mention it in our Shmona Esrei? How do we paskin? Adivre Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yitzchak pray. So Rav Yehuda took his son Rav Yitzchak on some sort of like a walk. Vidarash, and he started expounding for him. Yachit Shekiba Alav Tainis, Mispalal Shel Tainis, Vehichan Omra, Bein Goel Lerofe, that an individual who accepts upon himself a fast, he davens the tefillah of the fast during the Shmona Esrei. Where does he mention it? He mentions it between the blessings of Goel and the blessing of Rofe. Maskev l'Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak says back to him, what are you talking about? V'chi yachid koveya bracha le'atmo? Can an individual person make up a bracha on his own? In other words, we say that what Rav Yehuda was basically conveying to Rav Yitzchak was that if a person says the bracha, the blessing of Aninu, and he says it between the blessings of Goel and Rofe, then basically he's making up his own bracha, right? We know this bracha, we'll see how we paskin at the end of this Gemara, but we paskin that the Shliach Tzibor does say his own bracha of Aninu between Goel and Rofe, but what Rav Yitzchak is saying to Rav Yehuda is that we don't allow a yachid to make up a bracha for himself. So in other words, if an individual says, I'm going to fast tomorrow, that's all well and good, but he has no right to establish a new bracha on himself, that he gets to say the blessing of Aninu as an actual blessing and not part of another blessing. Rav Yitzchak says, what do you do? When do you say, when is the individual who takes this personal fast upon himself, when does he say the blessing of Aninu? B'shomea tefila. In the blessing of Shomea tefila. So we see that he doesn't make up his own blessing. He just says the Aninu prayer in the Shomea tefila prayer. So again, no blessing that he's making up on his own. B'chinam Rav Sheshes b'Shomea tefila. And Rav Sheshes also agrees that a person says the blessing of Aninu in Shomea tefila. Meisvei, we challenge this. Ein bein yachlet zibur, ela shezem is palo shmona esrei. V'zem is palal tisha esrei. So we're going to get a little technical between now and the top of the next page, so just bear with me. So we have a braisa that says the following, that there is no difference between a yachid and a tzibur. There's no difference between a face value. What this means is there's no difference between an individual and a congregation, except for one thing, that this one is mispalel Shmona Esrei, that the Yachid, he says 18 blessings in the Shmona Esrei. We know that nowadays we actually say 19, but okay, we're assuming that we're back in the day where it was actually called 18. So he says 18 blessings, v'zem mispalel Tisha Esrei, and the Tzibor, the congregation, davens 19 blessings. My Yachid u'my Tzibor, what are we talking about over here? And it seems like that Gemara, that Bryce is talking about a fast, that a Yachid says 18 blessings, and the Tzibor says 19 blessings. My Yachid u'my Tzibor. When we say yachid and when we say tzibor, what do we mean? Ilem a yachid mamish. If we really mean a yachid like a yachid by himself, vit tzibor, shliach tzibor, and when we say tzibor, we mean the chazan, the shliach tzibor who's leading, that this yachid, he says 18 blessings on his own, in his own right, and when we say tzibor, that the shliach tzibor says 19 blessings, hani tishasri, Esrin v'arba havu. What do you mean? The Shliach Tzibor says only 19 blessings. We know that he says 24 blessings, and we don't do this nowadays, but back in the day, whenever they had a public fast day, he would say 24 blessings in the Shmona Esrei. Ela lav hachi ka'amar. Rather, is it not that when this Braisa says this, it means as follows. Ein bein yachid dekibel alav tainis yachid, liyachid shekibel alav tainis tzibor. That there's no difference between a yachid, an individual, who accepted upon himself the fast of an individual, and an individual who accepts upon himself the fast of the tzibor. So, in other words, just to say that a little bit more clearly, we have two people in this scenario. One is an individual who accepted upon himself an individual fast, and one is an individual who accepted upon himself a fast that is also an individual fast, it would seem, but with the restrictions of a public fast. So, says the Gemara, that this is what the Braisa means. There is no difference between these two individuals, Ela shezem is palel shmona esrei, rather that this person dies Shabbos 18 blessings. Vizemis pal tishasrei that this and this other individual davens 19 blessings. Shma mina yachad chovei brach liatzmo. And what do we see from here? And this has been the whole point of this entire back and forth that we see from here that an individual can establish a blessing for himself because if we have an individual according to this brisa that is accepting upon himself a fast with the restrictions of a communal fast. And he says 19 blessings, it must be that that 19th blessing is an extra blessing that he essentially established for himself. So therefore, we see from here that it is possible for a person to establish a blessing for himself, and therefore, going back to what this argument that we had between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yitzchak, where Rav Yehuda said that a person can establish the blessing for himself, based on this price, it seems like this is true, that he could make the blessing for himself. Okay, with that, we continue. Lo, we say no. That doesn't make any sense. The olam imalacha. Really, I could say to you, shliach tzibor. Right? Really, I could say to you, hello, mayor. Good to have you here. Lo, we're on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So again, lo. So no. So don't say that we're talking about a yachid who accepted upon himself a public fast. The olam imalacha shliach tzibor. Really, I can tell you that this second case in this brisa is talking about a shliach tzibor, the chazan leading the congregation. And this that you say that it doesn't make sense for this to have been talking about the shliach tzibor because we said that he is saying 19 blessings, whereas over here. This that we say that it can't be the shliach tzibor because normally we know that on a fast day shliach tzibor should be davening 24, and over here we see that this person is davening 19. Still, I can tell you that it is the shliach tzibor, and he is davening 19. And don't worry about the fact that he isn't davening 24. Why? Because we're not talking about a fast where he's davening 24. Begimel tani was rishonos. We're speaking about the first three fasts, right? We know we have three sets of fasts. We have 3, 3, and 7. That's what we learned last time. So. This chazan is davening during this first set of three fasts. And during that first set of three fasts, there are not 24 blessings. What would you say? There are 19 blessings. And therefore, that's what the Bryce is talking about. Specifically, it's Shliach Tzibor who's davening when there are fasts. There's a public fast, but it's the 19, but it's the first three and not the other cases. Deleka Asra Miarba, because we don't have 24 blessings said in that situation. Says the Gemara, Velo, we don't have 24 blessings during the first set of three. Veha Ein Bein Katani, we have a brisa that says, or a mission that says, that there is no difference between these two fasts. What do you mean? Ein Bein Gimel Rishonos, Legimel Emtsayos, excuse me. There's no difference between the first three and the second three. Ella, except for one thing. Shebe elu mosrin basis, mutarin basis malacha, ube elu asurin basis malacha. That during the first three, you're allowed to do malacha, you're allowed to do work, and during the second three, you're not allowed to do work. Ha l'chaf dalid zev zeh shavin, which means that the implication is, since we say there's no difference between the first three and the second three, except for the fact that, that malacha is can be done during the first three. So the fact that it says there's no difference except for this thing, it means that halachaf dala, when it comes to the 24 blessings of the Shmoneh Esrei, zev zeh shavin, that both in the first set of three and in the second set of three, we have 24 blessings in the Shmoneh Esrei. So don't tell me the Shliach Tzibor can only dive into 19 blessings. Really, he should dive in 24 blessings in the first set of three fasts as well. Tana, it was taught in the Braisa, Vishir. No, there are other differences. Even though the Braisa says that there's no difference between them except for the following, nonetheless, we know, we taught elsewhere that Vishayer, there are leftover differences between them that are not explicitly taught, and the implication is that one of those differences is this idea that there are 24 blessings that are said for the second set of three, but not for the first set of three fasts. My Shiar, the High Shiar, I'm sorry. So my shiar. So what's left over that wasn't spoken about? The high shiar. This exact idea that the 24 blessings are difference between them that was left out. That again, the 24 blessings are said for the second set of three fasts, but not for the first set of three fasts. Visu, and furthermore, the ha ein bein kantani. We have another statement where it says there's no difference between the following. Ella. Oh, sorry. Okay, Vesu, and furthermore, the ha ein bein katani, this that it teaches, ein bein, there's no difference between them, is ella tanabi surei kamairi, with filos lomairi. So when it says ein bein, there's no difference between them, so what does it mean to exclude? What is the categorical difference between this thing that they're listing and the 24 blessings that are not listed? Oh, so we see that it's taught that the only thing that this is teaching about, the differences about, are regarding regarding the prohibitions on the first set of three and the second set of three. So when it says there's no difference between the first set of three and the second set of three, we mean we're only teaching what is the difference between the first set of three and the second set of three regarding the prohibitions, right? But regarding tefilos lomairi, we don't teach the differences between the first set of three and the second set of three regarding prayers. Okay. Period. Or says the Gemara, I'll tell you something else. So now you've basically proven to me that for sure during the first set of three, most likely you do not daven 24 blessings of Shemona Esrei, and during the second set of three, you most likely do daven 24 blessings of the Shemona Esrei. But says the Gemara, now I'll give you another possible answer. Maybe during the second set of three, we also don't daven the 24 blessings of the Shemona Esrei. And so therefore, even if they are entirely comparable in every which way, including how you pray, don't worry about it, because in the second set of three, you also are not saying 24 blessings of Shemona Esrei. And therefore, for sure in the first three, you're not saying 24 blessings of Shemona Esrei. Says the Gemara, Vilo, really? You don't say 24 blessings in the second set of three fasts? V'hatanya, but we taught, Ein bein gimel shnios l'sheva achronos. We said, have another ein bein, another statement that says there's no difference, but this time, there is no difference between the second three fasts and the seven last fasts, Ella, except for one thing, that for the last set, we cry out and we lock up the stores. But otherwise, the implication is that they're entirely the same in every single which way. They're similar in every other way. The key tema, and so now the Gemara gets smart. Unless you say, maybe you could say no, that there are actual differences that still exist between them, and only one of the differences was listed, but there really are more differences, and therefore, even though it doesn't say that you only say 24 blessings in the last seven, and not in the second set of three, it doesn't mean anything. Truth be told, that still is a difference, that you don't say the 24 blessings in the second set of three, and you only say it in the last set of seven. V'ha ein bein katani. Okay, Let's back up one more time. I apologize. It's a little back and forth, but we'll get there. Okay, and if you want to say maybe there still is a remnant, that there's still the other things that are different between them. Nonetheless, it teaches that there is no difference between them, and therefore, what that means is ein bein katani mamish. There's really no other difference between them except for this thing, which means that ultimately what we're left with is to say that there are going to be 24. Prayers, both in the second set of three fasts and in the last seven fasts of this entire cycle. Okay, good. V'tispara ein bein davka. So it now says the Gemara, really? You really think when we say ein bein that there's no difference between them, we really mean that there's no difference between them at all except for this one thing? I'll give you another example of something that we know that we left out. What's that? Top of your dalet amirav. V'hashir teva. You certainly left out this law of the teva, the law of the ark that we're going to learn about later in the Masechta, this idea that, that in the last set of seven, they used to bring out like the teva, they used to bring out the ark at which the chazan would daven, and they would put it in the public town square, and it was a whole big thing in order to show how desperate they were davening to Hashem. And so this idea of bringing out the ark to daven in the public town square, that for sure is not done. During the second set of three fasts. But nonetheless, this teaching, where we just learned that there is no difference between them, it did not mention this idea of the teva. So this proves that there are clearly things that are left out, because we know that we have something that was left out. So it says the Gemara, no. Okay, if you're going to say that it's clear that things were left out, then I'll bring you an example of something that was left out, and that is this law of the teva. No, that's not a good proof. Why? Mile de tsina katani, mile de farhesia lo katani. Because when we were teaching that there's no difference between this one and that one, we only were teaching the differences in the world of things that were done privately. But things that are done publicly, we weren't even teaching at all. So it's true we left out this law of teva, but that's because we weren't even thinking about the outside laws, in particular the laws that have to do with bringing the teva into the public eye. It's only the things that were done in private. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, Masni Nami Daika. Rav Ashi says that our Mishnah also seems to imply this same idea. What idea? So let's see. The Katani that was taught, Ma Elu Yaseros Al Harishonos. If you remember, we compared the the last set of three and the last set of seven, and we said, what is more machmir on these last seven than on this second set of three? Ela shebe'ilu masrin v'no'al anesachanuyos. And we said that, again, the last set of three and the first set of, and the set of seven, that the difference is that on the set of seven, that we call out and we lock the stores. But the understanding that you could, the implication that you can make is that in every other which way, they are totally the same. And if you want to say, maybe there are other differences, then we just left them out. But so don't say that there's only one difference between them, or just these two differences that the Mishnah lists. But the fact that it says ma'ilu, that has an implication in the language of the fact that they're is no other difference other than the fact of what we're about to teach. So basically, what you see from our Mishnah is that there is no difference between the first set of seven and the last set of three, except for what we listed. Ah, true, there may be a few other differences like this Teva thing, but again, so how would you answer up the Teva question? That's because we were only talking about things that are specifically done in private and not things that are done in public. Now, further, v'tispera ma'ilu dafka. So says the Gemara, really, you think when we say have the language of ma'ilu, that specifically means that this is the only difference between them? V'hashir lo, oh, sorry, the Gemara says it explicitly. V'hashir lo teva, la teva, but the clearly the case of teva is left out. Imishum teva lav shiurahu. And says the Gemara, no. If you're going to say that there really are other differences between them, and the example that the Gemara, that the Mishnah left that, and you're going to bring me an example from Teva, you can't bring that as an example. Why? Mishum deka chashav labi idach pirka. Why? Because the Mishnah does give that as an example. It talks about it in the second parak of Tainus, and therefore, since it talks about it in the second set of Tainus, don't think that just because it doesn't talk about it now, therefore it doesn't talk about it at all. Rather, it just talks about it later. So therefore, that's the reason why the Teva case was left out of our Mishnah. So it's a slightly different answer than what we just said above, but that's how we understand it for our Mishnah, because again, even though Teva is another difference between these two cases, the last set of three and the first set of seven, nonetheless, it's brought up later, so we don't have to bring it up now. And now, so what we understand is that basically, otherwise, the second set of three and the last set of seven, they are basically entirely the same otherwise, except for the differences that have been listed in our Mishnah currently. Hashta de asis lahachi. So now that you have come to this reasoning, esrim v'arba nami lav shiurahu. So maybe you could also say that no. So since you say that Teva is not a difference between these two sets of fasts because it's brought up later, so I can also say now that the 24 blessings are also a difference between them, and it's just left out over here. The Katane Labi Dach Perka. How do I know that? Because they're taught about later in a later parak, and therefore it seems like we come to the conclusion over here that when it comes to the second set of three fasts and the last set of seven, that ultimately the 24 blessings are only said in the seven last fasts, and they're not said in the second set of three fasts, because again, they are taught in a later parak as seemingly as another difference between them. Okay, with that, we conclude that back and forth of the Gemara, and now the Gemara is going to ask the following question. My Havela. So, okay, after you had all that, maybe falling asleep a little bit over here because it was so complicated. So, my Havela. So, what's the halacha when it comes to saying Anenu? When does a Yachid who is supposed to say Anenu in his Shmona Esrei, when does he say it in his Shmona Esrei? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar, and so it's a little unclear exactly what the Gemara is talking about over here in terms of specifically when does the Yachid say it, because are we talking about a Yachid of any fast, or a Yachid specifically of when a Yachid accepted a fast upon himself? Seemingly it's when a Yachid accepted a fast upon himself, but it turns out that the halacha is going to be the same in either case, so it doesn't make such a big difference. So fine, so when does this Yachid say Anenu in his Shmona Esrei? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Sisratai V'chein Amar Rav Chia Bar Ashi Amar Rav Bein Goel L'Rofe. So the first opinion says you say it between the blessings of Goel and Rofe. Rav Ashi Amar Mishmei Rebbe Yan. No, so we say the blessing of Anenu for the Yachid. He says it in the blessing of Shomea Tefila. What do we paskin? B'Shomea Tefila. That the Yachid says the blessing of Anenu in Shomea Tefila. And that's what we do to this day. The Yachid, whenever a person davens their silent Shmon Esrei on a fast day at Mincha, they say the Anenu in their Shomea Tefila prayer. And the Sheikh Tzibor, we know that he does say between he makes his own bracha between Goel and Rofe. Okay, keep going by there. Tani Chada. Ubros, umeinakos, misanos, breishonos, vein misanos, brachronos. So we're going to have three braises now that are going to be very confusing and seemingly contradictory, and we're going to have to bring a solution to them. So again, Tani Chadu Ubaros Minakos, women who are pregnant or women who are nursing. Misanos Brishonos, they fast for the first ones. Ve'in Misanos Bachonos, and they don't fast during the last ones. Ve'tanya Idach, we tell another brisa. Misanos bachronos, we fast in the last ones. Ve'in misanos bereishonos, but we don't fast in the first ones. V'tani idach in misanos lo bereishonos v'lo bachronos. Another brisa says we don't fast in the first or in the last. So it's very confusing because it's very contradictory to say these things. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says nakot amsayusa biyadecha demitartzon kulu. He says Ravashi, What can you do to make sense of all this? Understand and take that the middle set of blessings, aka the second set of three, understand that those are the ones that the pregnant or nursing women have to fast during, and the first set of three and the last set of seven, the pregnant and nursing women don't have to fast during them. So how do you read it now? So let's go back to the beginning, right at the two dots. So Tani Chadu Ubaros Menakos Misanos Preishonos, they have to fast during the first ones, Ve'im Misanos Bachronos, and not on the last ones. That means they have to fast during the second three, and they have to fast, and they don't fast during the last set of seven. The Tani Idach Misanos Bachronos, you do fast during the last ones, Ve'im Misanos Preishonos, and you don't fast in the first ones, so this means you don't fast in the first three, but you do fast in the second three. V'tanya idach in misanos lo merishonos lo b'achronos, and the final brisa that says you don't fast in the first or the last, that means you don't fast in the first three or the last seven, but you do fast in the middle three. And that's how you make sense of it all. Why is it? Why does a person fast in the middle three and not the other two? Well, it would seem that the first three, they're too minor that we don't want to impinge that on the pregnant or nursing woman. The last seven seem to be too strong, too severe, and we don't want to make the pregnant and nursing women fasting those. The middle set of three are like they're serious enough and they're also not as difficult, so therefore we say if you can, you should try to fast during those fasts as well, but not for the first three, not for the last one. Okay. Ma ilu seris al rishonos ela shebe ilu masrin vin no alin esachanuyos. We said in the Mishnah, what's the difference between the second set of three and the last set of seven? We said it's that they cry out and that they lock the doors. B'mai masriyan. Okay, well, so I have a question. What in the world does masriyan mean? What do you mean that they call out? B'mai masriyan. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Peshofros. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it's very simple. When the word masriya sounds a lot like trua, must mean that they blow shofars. And that's when we say they cry out during this last seven fast, that means they blow shofar. Rabbi Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Amar Be'aninu says, no, that they're not they're crying out with a shofar. No, they're literally crying out. They're crying out with the Aninu prayer. Says the Gemara, you might have thought that the one who says Aninu is the crying out, that they don't hold that shofar is crying out, and the one who holds that shofar is crying out doesn't hold that Aninu is also considered crying out. But Tanya, but it was Tanya Reisa, we don't detract from the seven fasts. We have to make sure you have seven fasts. Alat Zibor, Shabahen Yudches Hasraos, because that on them we have 18 cries. V'simen L'davar Yericho, and the way to remember what the cries are are based on the simen, the symbol of Yericho. So what in the world is that symbol of Yericho? Says the Gemara, the Yericho, shofros hava. Yericho, we know that when Yeshua came to conquer the city of Yericho, they blew shofar. So when we say Yericho, we think shofar. So says the Gemara, Thiyufta, Lamanda Amar Ba'aninu. This is a shlug up, the person who says that Aninu was crying out. Clearly, Masriyan, when we say cry out, it doesn't mean Aninu, it means shofar. How do you know? Because this verse says explicitly that crying out means Yericho, which means shofar. So Aninu can't be crying out. Ella b'shofros tekuli amalo pligi dekari lahasras. So says the Gemara, no. It must be that when it comes to shofar, everyone agrees that shofar is considered crying out. Ki pligi b'aninu. But when do they argue? They argue about Aninu. Marsavar kari lahasra, marsavar lo kari lahasra. One person holds that when you say Aninu, that is considered crying out, halachic crying out. And one says that when you say Aninu, that is not considered crying out. Leman damar b'aninu, and the one who says that you say Aninu, the one who above just said that says you say Aninu, and that's considered crying out, for sure, if you would have blown shofar, that would also be okay. But the one who says The chauffeur is crying out, but Anina is not going to be sort of crying out for him. Okay, that tiny of the son and brisa of Isharkol mini paranios hamesrag shows we know that in, there's a brisa that says that that when the rest or when other struggles or afflictions gather upon you, kigon chicho chagav zvuv vitzira vitushin v'shiluach nachashim makraven. So let's go by this. Go through this one by one. Chicho is like some sort of scratching caused by dry boils. Chagav are locusts. Zvuv are like flies. Tzira are wasps. Vitushin are mosquitoes. And then v'shiluach nachashim makraven. And this is like when God sends you snakes or scorpions. And it seems like the snakes and scorpions over here are more of like the pest kind and not the harmful kind, because we know that a krovim, scorpions, could kill you. So it seems like we're not talking about ones that will kill you. So says the Bryce over here, when any of these things come upon you, lo hayu masrien elat soakin, one does not cry out, they scream out. Midetzaka bepeh hasrab b'shofros, and from here we see that crying out, that screaming out, that's something you do with your mouth, and crying out, that's something you do with a shofar. And so we clearly see that no one in theory should have the ability to say that Aninu should be considered crying out, because over here we explicitly don't say crying out, we say screaming out. And so whenever we say screaming out, again, that's when you say Aninu, and whenever you say crying out, that means shofar. Says the Gemara, no beans. Tanaihi, this is actually a Tanaitic dispute, as Archibald would probably put it. Detanya al ilu masrim b'shabas al irshi kufa gayas o nahar yal sfina hametorefes bayam. These are the things that you cry out for on Shabbos. What are these things? Well, you have a city that's surrounded by enemy troops, you have a river that's over flooding terribly and destroying things, and, or you have a boat that's it's like floundering in the sea, like it's gonna sink very soon. So for those things you can cry out on Shabbos about them. Rabbi Yossi Amar Le Ezra of Alovitz Akha, and Rabbi Yossi says, okay, you can't just cry out about them to God. No, you cry out them to help. You say, help me, please help me. But you don't. Do it to cry out to Hashem, because we wouldn't cry out to Hashem about these things on Shabbos. Bimai, when we say Masrian, that you cry out over here, we say it's on Shabbos. So what kind of crying out is it? Elim b'shofros, if you want to say we're talking about crying out of a shofar, or can't, because shofros b'shabbos mishari, because our shofars, blowing shofar, is that permissible on Shabbos? We don't even blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it falls on Shabbos, let alone blowing a shofar for crying out purposes. Ela lav v'aninu, right? It is not clear that over here, when we say crying out on Shabbos, it means aninu. V'kari la hasra, shmamina, and we see that it's still called hasra. So shmamina, we see from here that when it comes down to it, that aninu could be considered crying out. That's a machlokas tanaim. It's an argument between tanaim whether or not aninu was considered crying out. One says that aninu was not considered crying out, that only blowing the shofar is crying out. And another opinion says that no, that aninu and of course as well shofar are both considered things that you can, that are crying out. Okay, two dots. Bottom last line of Yud Dalet Amin Aleph. How are we doing in terms of time? Okay, we're doing pretty well on time. Okay, so it says the Gemara, the last line in Yud Dalet Amin Aleph, B'shnei de Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Havatzara. In the years of Rabbi Yehuda, the Nasi, there was a terrible pain that came to the community, Yadalat Amabiz, Gazar Talas Esrei Tanios. And as a result, he decreed that there should be 13 fasts, that the community should fast, 3, 3, and 7, that equals, again, 13. Below Eani, and still, after they fasted these 13 fasts, with this terrible affliction, they were still not answered. Savar Lemigzar Tfei, and he thought, okay, I guess I have to now decree more fasts. Amar Le Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami says to him, Hare Amru Ein Matshrich, and Esa Sibar Yoter Midai. Rabbi Ami says to Rabbi Yehuda, the Nasi, he says to him, listen, we have a rule that Chazal say that you should not be Matshrich, you should not cause the Tzibar to like be in pain so much. So basically Rabbi Ami was saying is that you can't give more fast to them, because it's like enough already. You know, you tried, you davened lots and lots and lots, you fasted lots and lots and lots, but at some point you can't be Matshrich the Tzibar anymore. So he says you can't do it anymore. Amar Rabbi Abba Bray, the Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Rabbi Ami de Abad Legarmi Hudavid. Okay, a little bit of a cynical line. He says, when Rabbi Ami said this to Rabbi Huda the Nasi, He says he said it for himself. In other words, he said that Rabbi Ami himself was tired of fasting. And so therefore Rabbi Ami said, oh really, you know, Rabbi Yehuda, you can't really do this because it's like not so appropriate, it's not the right thing to do. But really says this opinion over here that Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yehuda could have gone further, but that Rabbi Ami was just no longer interested in it, so he tried to give him halachic justification for it, when really it was just about his own personal needs. Elahachi Amar Rabbi Yechia Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yechonam Lo Shano Ela L'Gashamim Aval L'Shar Mini Peranios Mis'anin V'holchen Ad Shiyanu Min HaShemayim. Says Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that when Chazal say that you don't fast more than 13 fasts, that's specifically over when you need rain. But that's specifically over rain. But when it comes to the rest of the afflictions, you can fast and you can do as much as you need to until you're answered from heaven. I'm just thinking for a second. Hold on one moment. Okay, so again, so so when we're told you can only fast 13 fasts, that's only for the rain. So I think when it says rains over here, I believe, I'll double check it and God willing, check back again next time about it. But when it says Geshem over here, it rains, it means that you only fast 13 fasts when the Geshem is too strong. But for the rest of the struggles in the world, you only fast and you go up until, you fast and go up until you need to, so you could have more than 13 fasts in any other situation except for the Geshem situation. And so basically what this is saying over here is that in general, Chazal say you can have more than 13 fasts except for a case of Geshem. Tani Nami Hachi was also told in a brace, Geshem Roshalosh, when Chazal say that you fast 3 and then 7 fasts, this is only taught regarding rain. But other than that, you can, for any other affliction, you can fast and keep fasting until you are answered. So says the Gemara, Lema tehave tiyuf to Rabbi Ami. Maybe this is a refutation to what Rabbi Ami said. Amar lecha Rabbi Ami tanaihi. Rabbi Ami will say, no, it's a Tanaitic dispute. Tanya ein gozrin yoser mi shalosh esrei tanya osal tzibur lefisha ein matrich and as a tzibur yoter mi died. Derei Rabbi. The Rebbe held that you can't give more than 13 fasts for the tzibur because it's being matriach the tzibur. It's being matriach the congregation. Excuse me, too much. I apologize. Let's just recap for one second. When we say geshamim over here, we're talking about a drought. So when we say that you can't have more than 13 fasts, the thought was that you can't have more than 13 fasts over whenever you have a drought. But in general, for any other sort of affliction, you can fast. And so then Rabbi Ami will tell you that it's actually a machlokas tanayim, that really some of tanayim say you can never have more than 13 fasts, and that's what he holds like. And some people say, no, you could only have 13 fasts over a drought and nothing else. So according to Rabbi, you can never have more than 13 fasts ever, no matter what. But Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, lo min Hashem hu zeh, el b'nei sheyatza zman hashal raviyah. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that, if you look at Rashi for a second, so Rashi, the third skinny line, lo min Hashem hu zeh, she'ein zeh tam, she'ein manichin, b'shvil toreach, ela shekavar yatza zman hashal raviyah shel yorash, shereim racheshvan avar. He says that when it comes to rains, the reason why you can't do more than 13 fasts for rain is very simple, because after you pass a certain point, after you pass the 13th fast point, at that point, the time of the Raviyah, the time of the first rains is totally gone, and therefore you don't need to fast anymore. You don't need to ask God for rain anymore, because if rain comes at this point, then it'll just be detrimental. So no rain is going to help. So that's why it says Rabban Shimon Gamliel that you can't fast more than 13 fasts when it comes to a drought, because at a certain point, it doesn't help anymore to ask for rain. But in general, again, the implication is that Rabban Shimon Gamliel would allow more than 13 fasts for any other serious thing that's happening to the community. Shalchu le b'nei Nineveh l'Rebbe, the people of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh. We know Nineveh from where? From Yonah. Right. So the people of the city of Nineveh sent to Rebbe. Kigon anan v'afilu b'tekufas tamas v'inan mitra hechi navir ki yachidim deminan o karabim deminan. A very interesting question. The people of the city of Nineveh asked Rebbe, us people in the city of Nineveh, that even in the time of Tammuz, the time of Tammuz means that it's the summertime, even in the time of the summer, we need rain. So how do we act? Do we act like individuals who need rain, or do we act like the Rabbim who needs rain? Do we act like individuals who need rain, and therefore we should ask for it in the blessing of Shomea Tefillah? Or do we, or should we act like the Rabbim and then ask it in the blessing of Shanim, right? Do we say Mesein Talamaz Bracha, or do we just put our own little blessing in Shomea Tefillah? So says the Gemara, Shalach Lehu Kiyachidim, the Misu V'Shomea Tefillah. He said that he sent back to him, and you should act like individuals, and you should ask for rain and the blessing of Shomea Tefillah. Says the Gemara, Misve, what are you talking about? Challenging this, Amar Rabbi Huda, Amasai. When is it true that the public fasts begin in Kislev? That the Mishnah said that the public fasts begin in Kislev. So when is that? Bizman Shashanam Kitikanan. Okay, in a time when the years basically run their natural course, the Yisrael Shuruyan Alad Maslan, and the Jewish people are on their land doing their thing. Aval Bizman Hazeh Hakol Lefi Hashanam. But nowadays, everything goes according to the years. Hakol Lefi Hamakomos, everything goes according to the places. Everything goes according to the time. Now, this line of according to the time is a very weird line. Rashi actually leaves it out of his gear, so he doesn't think it belongs in the Gemara. But what it basically means is that everything goes based on the time about if there was rain or not. But okay, so that's what it means. But again, Rashi takes it out of his gear. So anyways, but this teaching says that everything goes according to the place, meaning that nowadays that the Jewish people aren't on their land, that every place should go according to whatever they need to for their area. Therefore, the people of Nineveh, since the Jewish people are not on their land, they should be able to ask for rain in the Berachas Hashanim and not in Shomea Tefillah. Excuse me. Amar Lehi said back to him, Masnista Ramis Alei Derebi. He says, I quoted you opinion of Rebbe, and now you're bringing me a Mishnah to go against Rebbe. Rebbe Tanahu. Rebbe is a Tana, Upalag, and he has the right to argue on them. So in other words, even though Rebbe said something that this Mishnah disagreed with, that's quite all right. Rebbe is allowed to say something that disagrees with the Mishnah. So it's true. At the end of the day, Rebbe has his own opinion that they should have said the blessing in Shomea Tefillah, and this Mishnah has his own opinion that says that they should say it in the Berachas Hashanim, and that's quite okay. You can have a Machlokas. My Havela. So, at the end of the day, what happened regarding the people of Nineveh? When should they, or when did they ultimately say the blessing, or put in the request for rain? Rav Nachman Amar beBirchas Hashanim. Rav Nachman says they should do it in the Birchas Hashanim. Rav Shitas Amar beShomea Tefillah. Rav Shitas says, no, they say it in the Shomea Tefillah. VeHilchas Hashem beShomea Tefillah. And the halach is that you say it in Shomea Tefillah. In other words, that at the end of the day, when someone needs rain, and it's not during the right time of year that they need rain, not according to the regular calendar, so you say it in the Shomea Tefillah, and you don't say it in the Berachas Hashanim. You wouldn't start saying Masein Talmud Shel Bracha whenever you want. Okay, B'shnei Matin Im Chashicha V'Chamishi Kol Yom Ibnei Kibbutz Shabbos. So we had another line, and then I know we're going a little bit over, so we'll stop in just a few minutes. But so the Mishnah said that B'sheni Matin, that on Mondays they open up they partially open up the doors of the stores once it gets dark outside, and on Thursday they open up the doors seemingly entirely as a Kavod Shabbos, because we want to make sure people can buy food for Shabbos. Again, this is talking about the seven last fasts when they close the stores. So on Monday the store opens the doors a little bit towards the end of the day, and on Thursday the doors are totally open for Shabbos. Ibai Elihu, they ask the following question: Heichi Katani. When this is taught, what does it mean exactly? Bebeiz Matin Im Chashecha Uva Kol Hay. Is it that on the second day, that on Monday, the doors are partially opened once it gets dark outside, and that on Thursday, the doors are also partially opened, but they're open partially the entire day? Or is it that on Monday they're partially opened, and then but seemingly not just at night, but they're just partially open the whole day, and on Thursday they open them entirely the whole day? So Tashma, come in here, Detani, was studying the Brisa, B'sheni Matin Ada Erev Uvechamishi Poschen Kol Yom Kulam and Mekavod Shabbos. That on Monday you open up the doors towards the evening partially, and on Thursday you open up the doors entirely for the entire day because of Kavod Shabbos. Hayulo shnei pesachim poseach echad v'noel echad. So we find that if you have on Monday, if you have two openings, when it says partially open, so you should open poseach echad v'noah echad. If you have two doors, you open up one door and you close the other. Hayelo itztava keneged pischo. But let's say you have a bench in front of the door, poseach kedarko v'ino choshesh. Then you should just open up the door regularly and don't be concerned that you're gonna like maybe distress someone who's passing by and it'll be an issue. You can have the bench in the front because it won't be an issue because no one's going. You're not concerned. Basically, the concern is that someone might pass by and then he'll see, oh, I want to go and buy some food or whatever. So that's not really such a concern because with the bench in front, it'll look like the door is closed anyways. So don't worry about that. If the bench is in front, you can open the door. Okay, and then we'll do just a few more lines. We said that if a individual, we said that if the seven last fasts, if they do not work and you still have not received any rain, so what do? So we lessen the amount of business that a person does, and we also lessen the building and the planting that's done. So Tana was taught Binyan shall simcha, natiya shall simcha. When we say you have to refrain or limit your building, that means specifically building of happiness and specifically planting of happiness. Ezehu binyan shall simcha. What is considered the building of happiness? Zehabone bayas chasnos livno. This is a person who builds like a wedding chamber, like you build like a nice wedding hall or whatever for your son livno. So that's obviously going to bring you tremendous happiness. So that's what's not allowed when we say binyan simcha. Ezehu natiya shall simcha. What's considered a planting of simcha? Zehanotea avornaki shalmalachim. This is a person who plants like these trees for kings. Back in the day, there was a custom that whenever the king had a son, he would plant a tree for the son, and ultimately when that king's son was coronated, when he became the king, they would use the wood from that tree and they would make a throne out of it. And it seems like the implication is that this custom was followed by other people as well, that when someone else had a child as well, they would also just plant the tree because that's what they used to do with the king, so they did it for regular people also. So any sort of those types of planting would be prohibited as one of the plantings of happiness. But seemingly other planting would be okay, and seemingly other building would be okay as well. Okay, so we'll stop right here, and God willing, next time we'll pick up from here, and we'll next time we're going to be doing Daf Tet Vav, the 15th Daf. That's basically, well, one short of the halfway mark of Tainus, which is very exciting. What's also very exciting is that we're going to be finishing the Perek next time, and what's also very exciting on top of that is that you'll notice, just a quick spoiler alert, that basically next time we're going to finish the Perek, and then most of the Daf next time is basically one very, very large Mishnah. If you look at the entire page on Tet Vav on page 15a, and you go to 15b, basically the entire thing is just one long Mishnah, so we'll basically just go through that next time. And with that, we will stop right here. Everyone should have a great night.